Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship here at First Rough Island, if you're gathered with us here, or if you're at home watching the streaming service. It's lovely to have you with us. Just the announcements are, as usual, I'll highlight some extra things happening this evening at 6:30. We're having a combined evening service with Second Third, Brookvale, and some other churches as well. We'll be coming along at 6:30, and this will be something we'll be doing every month, the third week, but going round different churches. So stay tuned to that, but please come along tonight. Youth Fellowship will be tonight after that evening service at 8 p.m. in the Morrison Room. So please, again, youth, plan to come to that. On Tuesday, there's the PW, 8 p.m. The guest speaker will be Karen Salmon from Anaclone and Macaralley Church of Ireland. All ladies will be made welcome. The other activities are as usual: Wednesday midweek, Thursday GB, Friday the BB. Just to remind you, on the midweek, we're looking at Romans, so please do plan to come along. And if you are coming along, please read Romans 1, verses 2 to 7 beforehand, and have any questions ready to be asked. If they're answered or not, might be another thing, but come and join us as we study Romans in the next over the next while. Looking ahead, there's also the church committee, Monday the 10th at 7:30 in the Morrison Room. So take a note of that. Or is that the meeting where the whole church comes together? So it's not going to be in the Morrison Room, it'll be down in the church hall, and that will be for all to come along and hear the reports as well at that meeting. So please put that in your diary if you're in the committee or not, because it's a meeting that you need to come along and hear the reports at. I think that's all the announcements. There are still some free will offering envelopes for collection in the vestibule, so please make sure you get yours. I believe those are all the announcements. In Psalm chapter 8, we read these words: Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? Let us stand and worship our great loving God as we sing our first hymn, To God Be the Glory.
Atonement for sin, and all.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we rejoice this morning as we come into this place. Lord, as we acknowledge that you are our God, you are the majestic creator of the heavens and the earth, and Lord, that you are mindful of us. You care for us so much. You loved us so much. You gave us your only Son. Lord, we praise your name. And Lord, as we gather here today, we pray, Lord, that you will challenge us afresh as we look to you. Encourage us once again through your word, through the worship pieces we are singing. Lord, challenge us afresh too. Lord, we acknowledge as we come here today, we are not the people you call us to be. Lord, we have sinned in word, thought, and deed over the past week. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us in and through the blood of Jesus. And Lord, lead us on. Lead us into this incoming week. Lord, directing us, strengthening us, so we can do the things you call us to do. Lord, give us the strength so we can cope with the different situations, Lord, we find ourselves in. Lord, help us do all that we need to do for your honor and glory in this incoming week. Lord, we humbly submit to you, seeking your help so we can go forth and be your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning, we will be looking at the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 3. Again, this is what the children will be looking at later on, and also what we will be looking at in a few minutes. And then we will turn over to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 8. So first, from Joshua chapter 3, reading from verse 14. Let us hear the word of the Lord. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is in flood all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water flowing down to the sea of the Abra, the salt sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Amen. Now turning over to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 8, reading from verse 27 to 30. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Amen. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Now, if the children would like to come down to the front, I will come down and speak to everyone there. Great. It's great to see you here today. Again, you probably don't miss me when I'm in another church, but I do miss the congregation. It does seem like a long time, even though it was only one Sunday when I was in Glasgow and Dundalk, but it seems a lot longer to me. But anyway, it's good to be back with you. Tell me this. Do you go on holiday sometime? Do you? Do you ever bring anything back home with you? What do you bring home with you? Would you bring back
stick a rock sometimes. Maybe. Yeah, it's bad for the teeth, though. Bad for the teeth. I remember we used to, as children, always go to Portrush. A wee stick of rock used to come back. Sometimes they never got back, but that's what would have thought. But sometimes when you're away, you bring something back that reminds you of your trip, don't you? Ever done that? No? Has anyone ever done that? Good, because sometimes we can forget and we need things to remind us. So I have some things that if you come into my office, it's a little bit of a mess, but if you look to the shelves, these are some things I gathered from my shelves this morning. For example, this little item. What do you think that is? Any thoughts? No? Come on, what do you think that is? No idea? Anyone in the congregation, if you can see it? What do you think it might be? It's not a crayon, no. No. It's not a tooth? Although, yeah, I can see where you're coming from, yeah. Yeah. No, that is a chess piece. That is a bishop. It's hard to see, I suppose. But it's made of soapstone. So can anybody guess where this comes from? Made of soapstone. Don't know where to get a lot of soapstone. From Africa. That's from Uganda, where my brother lives and works as a minister for 25 years. And the house is coming down with soapstone, vases, lots of other things. But I thought I'd get a little chess set of soapstone. So when you go in, it's sitting there to the left, the whole chess set, reminding me of the times I've been out in Uganda and also of the work that my brother and his wife are still doing there. So that's one little thing that reminds me. Now, here's another one. Do you know what that is? A cowbell. And where would cows have something like that? Sorry, what was that?
Their ears.
Their ears. Well, as far as I remember, they hang them around their neck. But they could have them there, I don't know. But that reminds me of Switzerland. A long time ago, about 30 years ago, I had to go there. Terrible. I had to go there, and that's where I was trained for CEF for 3 months in the Swiss, not the Alps, but close to them. And that reminds me of the cows. You used to wake up with the cowbells. I love the sheep are great, hearing those out, Murray, but see the cowbells. After a while, it started to get us a little bit crazy. But that reminds me of about 30 years ago when I studied over there in Kilsimer in Switzerland. Now CEF workers will study, a lot of them down the road in Kalkiel in Seaview to be full-time CEF workers. But then you had to go to Switzerland. It was hard. Then one other thing that reminds me, not of somewhere I went, but something I used to do. What's that there? Bit abstract, isn't it? I'm getting confused faces. Anyone? It's actually, I think it's actually a beach mat. So it is, but that's not what it was used for. You see, a little while ago, I used to do a little bit of jiu-jitsu. When it came to the black belt, you weren't allowed to use a wooden katana. You had to use a real one. So for it, you got to practice your slicing of mats, nothing else, of course. And to make sure you're doing it well, they put a mat on a broom and was sitting up, and you had to come with your katana and cut it. So that's about 8 years old. But that reminds me of one time I was fit, and one time I knew what I was doing with the sword. No longer, although that sits in my office, and the katana sits over to the right in a box locked, so don't worry, no one can get at it. But these things all remind us of things we might forget, some things that have been done. And in the passage you will look at in Sunday school, you will hear about something that Joshua tells his people. Well, God tells his people they have to build to remind them. See, Joshua and his people, they were... Hopefully this is going to work. The little clicker. Yeah. Joshua and his people were now about to go in to the promised land. Jericho was the city that lay before them. But first, there was a great big river. The River Jordan. How could they get across the River Jordan? They couldn't jump the river. It was too wide. They couldn't swim. It was too fast. There was no boats. There was no bridges. What would they do? What could they do? They didn't want to get their feet wet either. Some were a little bit old. Some were a little bit young. And there were lots of animals. So what would they do? Well, God gave them away. And it was the strangest way you could think of. God told them they had to go with the Ark of the Covenant. The priests were carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And they had to go to the River Jordan. And they had to put their feet in it and then stand in it. Would they get wet? Do you think they'd get wet? They should get wet, you would imagine. But this was God's plan. And all the people of Israel were to go behind them. So whenever they tried to put their feet in the river, well, oh, they're getting ready to go there. The river stopped. The Bible says the river piled up, as it were. So when they went into the middle, there was no water. No one got their feet wet. Everybody in Israel were able to walk right across without getting wet. Isn't that amazing? Shouldn't happen. Couldn't happen. But God does those things that shouldn't happen, that can happen, because he is God. And that's what he did. All the people of Israel able to go across. How amazing he is. But before the priest stepped out, God told his people, I want you to get stones, 12 stones, and I want you to pile them up at the side of the river so you will always remember what I have done here. In fact, that big pile of stones that sits beside the river, you can tell others what it means, because other people need to know what God did that day at the River Jordan, how he was able to stop the water running with his great power. So that's what the men were doing. They took the stones and they piled them up on the other side. And as soon as the priests walked out with the ark, the river came crushing back. But everyone was okay. They were all across the other side. And there was the mound of stones that was there to help them remember how good God is. It's important that we never forget the things God has done. That's why we come to church to listen. That's why we go to Sunday school to learn. That's why we sing our songs that remind us of who God is. So we remember what he has done. And then we also remember to thank him and to seek his help to live for him, because he has done amazing things for us, even better than stopping a river flowing. Remember, he sent his son to die for you on the cross, something you should never forget. Something you should thank him for, and most importantly, you should act upon. Make sure you're trusting in Jesus yourself and then seeking to do what he asks, because he is the same God that can help you today with all those difficulties you're going through. And everybody here has problems and maybe difficulties. They don't know what to do. God can help. So look to him and never forget he is the one that can help you at all times. We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a great God that loves us and cares for us. You have done so many good things for us. Lord, help us never forget. Help us to remember, firstly, that you sent your son to die for us. Help each one here put their trust in Jesus, and then help us follow you day by day. Lord, help us also be quick when problems come to ask you for help, because you are the all-powerful God. Help us never to forget that. A God who loves us, a God who cares for us, a God who is able to carry us through. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to sing our children's hymn, Father, I Place Into Your Hands.
great. I have a confession to make. Colin came to me before the service to remind me there was a box of celebrations there for the children. And the beginning of the service isn't a good time to talk to me. It goes in one ear and out the other. So sorry, Colin. But we will get them used, hopefully next week. Or maybe the youth tonight, who knows. But anyway, forgive me. But before we come to the prayer of intercession, I want to just update you a little bit about the work over there in Moldova, in East Moldova, in Transnistria. Again, where a few of us were, it seems like a long time ago, excuse me, just 2 weeks ago. So this is actually one of the parts of the Red Roofs out there in Moldova where we stayed. And it was good to have electric on at that point, because when we were there, there was blackouts, sometimes 4 hours, sometimes 8 hours every day. So that was going through the country at that time. They also had no gas. The gas line had been closed off, I think already for 2 weeks by that stage. So there was no gas for heat. And then during the day, the electric was going off quite constantly. And we found in the house, when the electric went off, the water also stopped flowing because that was connected. But that was one of the times there was electric at the centre. Again, just showing you a few little photographs, if I can get this working again. Yep, we were all well fed. There was some, I think, cardboard or toast on the table there with lots of fruits, beautiful rice. The rice sometimes came with the biggest blobs of butter in it, but very tasty all the same, especially if you miss the butter. But the first day, again, sometimes our meals were surrounding the blackout times just so the kettle could be boiled for our coffee before we headed out. So we went there on the Monday morning. We didn't get sleep on Sunday night because of the plane delay. Then about 2.5 hours at the customs. They weren't going to let us through because of some of the things that were being taken. Liverpool shirts, I think they were. Isn't that right, Jim? Yes. Maybe you wouldn't forgive them for not letting Liverpool shirts through. But they just weren't going to let us through at all. So we were stuck in no man's land, literally, between Transnistria and Moldova for 2.5 hours until a contact of Jim and Tom, Sergey, woke up and was able to tell them to get us through. But that was, the customs were not the friendliest bunch with their machine guns and going through our suitcases. But they let us through and we got there. And again, this is a generator. It seemed it was impossible to get some Liverpool shirts through, but somehow Tom Dick was able to get this generator in when we were there. So this massive generator that will mean when the electric is going out, I don't know if it's completely connected yet, they're certainly getting it connected, but this will mean once the electric was off for 8 hours, maybe 8 hours in the morning, then 4 hours later on, this will mean that there will still be power in the Red Roofs, which is so important. Apart from anything else, the government would try and use it as an excuse to get the children out of there into the state orphanages if there wasn't electric. So this means they have no excuse from that either. So this is a great thing to have installed. It means when there's darkness all around the area, there will truly be light shining from the Red Roofs. So again, it's great to have that in. Again, this is what we went out for. All this wood goes into the distance there. And that's the Red Roofs, again, the orphanage in the distance there. But that's what we were there for. I think we gave out logs to 80 different houses. Again, they were stacked. What about that? And to start with, anyway, when those were going along the bumpy roads, not one log fell out, because the people packing them wasn't us. There were some people from the centre packed them, and then we went and delivered them all. But they were heaped trailers, as you see, and don't know about health and safety some of the times, but they were given out. We stopped at the different houses. The local officials gave us the names of the people that needed them. Again, no gas, so very little heat, but they were able to get heat from the logs that were delivered. And again, there's Jim. Jim, to be honest, was mostly up in that lorry in the trailer when the wood was being given. I was usually standing down for some reason, don't know why. And there's the time I did get up into the Lord. But we won't look at that too long. That was when it was moving. They did not go slow. They just went so quick. And unfortunately, I was trying to sit in the logs. But we'll move on from that quickly. There were some of the ladies that they were outside because they were said it was hotter outside than in the house with no heat at that time. So they were out having a little celebration and were very thankful for the logs. They offered us a wee glass of wine. We didn't take it. We were offered several things. I was offered an iron. It's still there. That there was hugs and different things offered just because they were so happy to get these logs that were supplied by different people from here and from further afield who give money for that. Another family, that's Wesley in the middle in the blue. He works in the shop in Ballymena. And this was a family he'd worked with. I think he painted the house before, did he? Yeah. So it was a reminder that orphanage is there with 18 young ones at the minute, but the influence goes all the way through the neighbourhood. Again, food, there's vouchers given out. Every house we went to, we also give a wee voucher so they could go and get some food as well, heat and food at the same time. This is some of the ones from the orphanage. We were there on the 7th, which was one of their Christmas days, so there was Santa Claus, there was presents given out, and the children would not stop giving us what they received. I don't know how many chocolates you went away with, Jim, but no matter how many times you told them no, they just kept coming back and offering and offering and offering. Such kind-hearted young people there in the orphanage. And there's Jim with Sasha. Again, one of the homes that a lot of work has been done with. Sasha just really, she's no part her legs. She moves bare hands, doesn't she, Jim? But just so thankful for what she gets. As the rest of them all were too. Some situations that were just, it would make you cry, but again, some situations which were being transformed by the love that was going out from the Red Roofs with a lot of practical help being given. So do please continue to pray for that work. There's a little video there. Hopefully we'll get up of one of the girls before me. So, again, it was a real joy to be allowed to go out with them and just to be part of giving the logs out and just seeing what a lot of your work has accomplished out there. Just, again, I'd like to thank all those who work in the shops in Ballymena and, of course, Roof Island, those who give stuff into the shops, those who buy stuff from the shops. That all goes to help this orphanage continue the work there for these children who are looked after so well. In the state orphanages, it's a disaster. So to see them there just clean, dressed and happy is an amazing thing. And that's part of what you're doing as you support the shops here in Roof Island and Ballymena. So please keep doing that, helping in the shops and providing stuff for the shops. And also, of course, a big thanks to Jim. Jim just works so hard. And I couldn't do about a quarter or a tenth of what Jim done out there, or probably the shop either. So again, just thanks to Jim, Tom, and the rest of the team that are constantly working there to keep this work going. So we're going to pray for the work. We'll pray that they can get the heat. The gas will be released so they can have heat, and the electric will be sorted out too. So let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for what we have. We thank you for the electricity we have, for the heat we have, for the flowing water we have. Lord, we are so thankful for it, especially when we think of so many other countries that don't. Lord, at the minute in Transnistria, where the gas line has been closed off for weeks now. Lord, where the electricity is very temperamental, going off for 8 or 4 hours at a time. Lord, we pray that you will just give people the wisdom there to know how to correct that situation. Lord, we thank you for those who supplied money to get the logs so they could go out so people can have a fire and have heat. Lord, we thank you for the generator that has been able to be provided so there will be heat and light and flowing water when the electricity goes off. We thank you for all that and for those who battle to make it possible. Lord, I thank you for those here who give of themselves, helping in the shops. Lord, so those children in the orphanage can stay there so they can be fed, so they can be clothed, so they can have all that they need. Lord, we thank you for those who provide the things to sell in the shop, for those who go and buy the things in the shop. All together, Lord, making this ministry possible. The red roofs there in Transistria, the children being reached, and the whole surrounding area being transformed practically. Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you for everyone that has a part to play. And Lord, continue to show us what we can do, Lord, with this great opportunity on our doorstep to help these children, to help these people in Eastern Europe. Lord, we thank you for those opportunities. Lord, I pray that you will continue to help us and lead us, Lord, at this time. Lord, lead us through the different problems perhaps we find ourselves in. Those, Lord, at this time going through treatments. Lord, I pray those treatments will work. They will do their job. They will bring the measure of health that's needed. Lord, for those that cannot go through treatment at the minute, Lord, we pray that that will change, that treatment will be available. And in the meantime, you will place your hands upon our loved ones and give them health and strength that you can give. Lord, I pray that you will continue to direct us too as a church here in Rough Island. Lord, just show us the things that we can do to help those outside our walls, to help us be the light you call us to be here and further afield. Lord, continue to use us, we pray. Give us the wisdom to know what to do. And Lord, continue to give us the gifts and abilities to serve you in this place. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. And as always, if you need to know any more information about the work there in Moldova or Transistria, ask Jim. Jim has the answers. Thank you. Now we're going to stand and we're going to worship God again through this beautiful hymn, When the Trumpet of the Lord. Sometimes people may ask this question, who is he? Who is that person? And maybe they say that about you. Who are you? Perhaps people may describe you in different ways. Some people may have some nice things to say about you. Some people may have not so nice things to say about you. And sometimes it can depend how people know you and what they say about you. Some people may call me reverend. Some may call me dad. Some will call me their husband. Some may call me their son. My mom, of course. Others may call me other things that I wouldn't like to mention, perhaps, at the pulpit. But it does depend. Different people will know different things about us and therefore call us and say, and give different answers to this question. But this is the question that Jesus asks in this passage today. The disciples with the Lord Jesus, they have just been to Bethsaida. There, a man who was blind has been healed, and now they move on to Caesarea Philippi. And there Jesus stops with his disciples and says, he gives that question, who do people say I am? Who do people say I am? Strange for a teacher to do this, a teacher, a rabbi. Usually it would be others asking them questions. But of course we know this was part of Jesus' way to get people to think. He often took the initiative asking questions. Who do people say I am? Well, the disciples had ears. They could hear. They could hear the talking that was going around. And this is what they told the Lord Jesus. They said, some people say you're John the Baptist. Remember, John the Baptist had already been beheaded. And on hearing about Jesus, Herod had thought that Jesus was John the Baptist. He felt so guilty. We read that in Luke chapter 9, verse 7 to 9. So Herod at least thought he was John the Baptist back from the dead. After, of course, he had him killed. Others said he was Elijah. Remember, Elijah was one of those that had never died, taken up into heaven in a whirlwind, accompanied by fiery chariots around him. You read that in 2 Kings 2. The Old Testament actually said that Elijah would be back. Malachi 4, verse 5 to 6. That Elijah would come back, and he would come back before the Messiah. The people of Israel would have been expecting him to come back. Whenever a Jewish person was celebrated Passover, indeed when they celebrate today, there's a fifth cup of wine poured out, and that fifth cup is supposed to be for Elijah. So Elijah can take it when he comes. Again, they believe the prophet is the forerunner of the arrival of the Messiah. Once they're taking the Passover, they will keep the door open for Elijah to come in, waiting for him to come. And then the Messiah would come, bringing redemption to the people of Israel. So some people actually of the day thought that Jesus was Elijah, that he was not the Messiah, but that he was the one that came before, heralding that the Messiah would come. Who did others say? Well, others said he's one of the prophets, one of those people set aside by God to declare the word of God. And again, if you look at the similar account in Matthew, a specific prophet is mentioned, and that is Jeremiah. Some people thought that Jesus was a prophet, that he was Jeremiah. Again, Matthew 16, verse 14. Some apparently had the belief that Jeremiah would return before the Messiah came. Indeed, that he would come bringing back the Ark of the Covenant. That's what some believed at that time, it seems. And of course, there were better answers to this question than others. Other people, of course, had different thoughts of who Jesus was. Again, in Mark 3, verse 22, some people actually said that he was the devil. Imagine that. But they did. And it was the teachers of the law. In Mark 3:22, and the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, he is possessed by Beelzebub, by the prince of demons. He is driving out demons. That's who some people thought Jesus was. I wonder, do you care who other people think you are? Some people may have some rare thoughts about you. And sometimes if we hear things, we can be really hurt. But imagine this one. People thought and said that Jesus was the devil himself, so far from the truth. People today have many different opinions on who Jesus was. Muslims would say that he was a prophet and that he will return, but they would say he is not the Son of God. Hindus believe he is just one of a million gods. Many Jews believe he was a great prophet, a great teacher, but not God. Jehovah's Witnesses believe he once was the archangel Michael. Who is he is a very important question. It's a question we really need to get right ourselves. So many opinions, and it really does matter. It's a matter of life and death, of eternal life or eternal death. Death, who Jesus is and who he is to us. A good man, a prophet, a teacher cannot give everlasting life. Knowing who Jesus is and treating him accordingly is essential for your salvation, for your everyday life. Everybody needs to know who Jesus is, because knowing exactly who he truly is and acting upon it can affect and will affect people's lives eternally. So Jesus goes on. He asked this question to his disciples, who do others say I am? But then the most important question of all, who do you say that I am? Forget what others say. Forget what others are talking about. Who do you say I am? And of course, it is Peter that pipes up. And that shouldn't really surprise us. Peter seems to be the most vocal of the disciples. He wasn't backward in any means when it comes to speaking. And he talks as a collective with the answer, saying, you are the Messiah, or you are the Christ. Again, Messiah would be the Hebrew, the Christ, the Greek, for the same word, anointed one. So that's who they believed Jesus was. After being around him, after hearing his teaching, after seeing his miracles, we believe you are the Messiah. Again, in the account in Matthew 16, verse 16, Peter goes on a little bit further, saying, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, declaring much more. He is the Messiah, the anointed one, but the fact that he is the Son of God as well. And then in Matthew 16, 17, Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven. That's who Jesus was. That's who Jesus is. The Christ, the Son of God. This is something the Gospels make very clear to us. The identity of Christ is so important to us, should be so important to us, and the Gospels make it clear. The very start of Mark's Gospel declares in 1 verse 1, the beginning of the Gospel about Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God. In the book of John, we hear the same. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The identity of Christ, of Jesus, is so important. Again, Jesus, his name, Christ, his title, the Anointed One, the Messiah. Again, that's what the Messiah, Christ, means. This was a royal title. Again, it was used in the Old Testament to refer to the divinely appointed kings of Israel. Later, it came to refer specifically to the great deliverer and ruler, whose coming was eagerly anticipated by all the Jewish people. Again, Daniel 9, verse 25. No one understand this. From the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Anointed One, the ruler, comes, there will be 7 years and 62 sevens. So the people of Israel were waiting for the Messiah, the Anointed One, who would come to be their ruler, to be their deliverer. But what did they think Jesus would deliver them from? What would he rule? What would he have to do to accomplish this? Unfortunately, over time, the understanding of what he would do became distanced from Scripture. It became twisted. The longer we and the more we get go away from Scripture, the more likely we are to twist things and twist his truth, unfortunately. The people of Israel, they started to expect a Messiah who would vanquish all of Israel's enemies. The Romans, anyone else that would put them under subjection, that's who Jesus was coming for, the Messiah, to remove that. And they believed that he would come and restore his kingdom in Jerusalem for the people of Israel. Very specific. It was all about them, and it was all very material. Throwing off the shackles of Rome, or whoever else was oppressing them at that time, and giving them that freedom to live. That's what they expected. And that's why when Jesus came, who rejected him first? The religious leaders. Because he didn't come to overthrow Rome. He came to be number one in people's lives. He came to be the king, to be the ruler of everyone. That's what he wanted. That's what he came to do. Again, John MacArthur reminds us, even the most faithful Israelites struggled to overcome their preconceived notions of what the Messiah would be and do. He didn't come to deliver them from an enemy, from the Romans, from the Assyrians, the Babylonians. He came to save us eternally. Again, Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. He came to deal with the problem that you and I have that we can't deal with. He came to deal with the problem of our sins. He came to take us from death to life, from darkness to light. He is the deliverer. He is the Messiah, the Savior. That's who Jesus is. The one who came to deliver you from your sins. But who is Jesus to you today? Who is he to you? Imagine if Jesus came right now and looked you in the eye and said, who do you say I am? Would you say, well, you're a teacher, a holy man, a wise man? Would you say, well, you are the Son of God, you're the Messiah, the Savior? Because that's not really enough. You need to be able to say to him that you are my deliverer, that you are my king. It's not good enough to believe he is a deliverer or even their deliverer. He needs to be yours. You need to have acted on who he is. You need to have submitted your life to him so he is king of your life. You need to have put your trust in him so he has delivered you from your sins. That's something you must do personally. The most important question, who is Jesus to you? Make sure you can say he is your deliverer, your savior. He is your king. Make sure you have come on your knees before him asking his forgiveness. And he will give it because that's what he came for. Dying on the cross to forgive you and to forgive me completely. Make sure he is your deliverer. Make sure he is your savior. That you're looking to him and following him. That's what Peter told on behalf of the disciples said that day. And when Peter said, you are the Christ, how did Jesus respond? He said, tell nobody. Tell nobody. Yet. You see, the time had not yet come. Jesus at this stage had more to tell the disciples. If they started proclaiming that he is the Christ now, it would have made it so difficult for him to do what he had to do. Do not tell anybody this news yet. But then a little bit later, the time came. He died and rose again. He made it possible. He did what had to be done for you and for me to be forgiven. And once he did, once he rose again, the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. And then it was different. It was changed to tell everybody. Everybody had to know Why? Because he could change the lives of everybody, no matter who they were, no matter who they are. And it's the same today. Everybody needs to know that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, the deliverer, the ruler, the one that can change their lives completely once they put their trust in him. Jesus is not just a Messiah, not just my Messiah, but he is the Messiah of the world, the one that can change everybody's life. We must not keep this news to ourselves. We must seek to make sure everybody hears it. With the abilities God has given us, we must seek to get this message out. That's what we are called to do. First, to make sure we know him ourselves as our Messiah, our King, and then make sure we take opportunities to tell everybody else, because he is the one that can change lives today, just as he did then. Make sure he has changed your life, that he is your Savior, you've trusted in him, and then take the opportunities to share this simple message with those around you, so they too can say, he is my Savior, my Messiah, my Deliverer, my King. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is something each one of us have to get right in our own lives. Who is Jesus? Each one of us needs to be able to say, he is my Messiah, my Savior, my Deliverer, my King. Lord, I pray that you'll bring each one here to yourself personally, that each one here will bow the knee to you, submitting to you as their King, trusting in you as their Savior, their Deliverer, their Messiah. And then, Lord, help us to go forth, sharing this good news with others, showing others how this truth has changed our lives as we live for others, seeking to help wherever we can, and also taking the opportunity to tell others. Why? It's because Jesus, the Messiah, my Savior and Lord. Help us be faithful, I pray. Amen. Now we're going to stand and sing our final hymn, Filled with Compassion. now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you both now and forevermore.